Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to a very different Tarlehurst End weekend preview this week. With the news of Paul Clements sacking yesterday, it's been a very hectic 24 hours at TT Towers, as you can imagine. We've unfortunately not had the time to quite record a full weekend preview podcast for you. Myself and the Working Papers, Tom Crocker, did sit down yesterday to discuss Clements' sacking, whether it was the right decision, how much influence Nigel Howe had on it, and also where the club turned next, looking at the candidates. So please do go and listen back to that if you haven't already. It'd be very much worth your while. But earlier in the week, I did record the view from the town end with Sheffield United fan Louis Hobbs. So I thought we may as well release that for you so it doesn't go to waste. It also gives you a little bit of preview content ahead of Reading versus Sheffield United tomorrow evening. So enjoy that and come on yours.
The view from the town end.
What the opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading hosting Sheffield United on Saturday. This week I'm joined by Blades fan Louis Hobbs. How's it going, Lou?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. I'm not feeling too confident ahead of Saturday, but I suppose we'll see how that one pans out.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how to go into it. I mean, going away from home, it's always a tough one, and especially with us going for a bit of a rough patch in form, you can't really cancel even against the teams fighting for relegation.
So I was going to start with sort of that drop-off you mentioned. I mean, talk me through the season so far, because you go into this game sixth in the table, just inside the playoffs, 5 points off the automatic promotion places and 6 points off top spot. There was a point, obviously, where you were first yourselves back in October, but there has been that slump in form since then. You've won just once in six games, I think, since the start of November. What was going right at the start of the season, and what's going wrong now, I suppose?
I don't think really much has changed from how we're playing from the start of the season to now. Especially Billy Sharp hit a really good run of games at the start of the season. And I think it's something like five or six games probably since our last win. He hasn't scored in any of those games.
Okay.
And I don't think, we all know how Billy Sharp plays. He's been around in the Championship for long enough now. He's not going to be that player to drive the team, pick up the ball in our own half and dribble through a defence and score, but he is always going to be there in positions and you do need to feed him. And I think, especially these past few games, we've relied, because David McGoldrick has come in and he brings a different aspect to how we play compared to last season, we've kind of relied on him to be like our main goal threat rather than feeding the balls into the box to Sharp. And especially these past five games, is in my opinion, we've had Wednesday, Rotherham, Leeds, Forest and Brentford as the last five. And for me, that's our hardest run
of the entire season.
You got three derbies in there. Well, technically four if you're counting Forest, which is a big derby for us. And then Brentford were no slacks. And before that, I would have took 9 points from that. And we've only come out of it with five, which is really disappointing. And I can't really nail on why we've had this drop in form, because the players are still performing. And I know against Forest, we had to change a few players up, bringing in Martin Craner. And against Rotherham, Ollie Norwood, who has been such a star man, such a pivotal part of our team, he had a bit of a slouching game, which everyone does have their off games, but we've got to keep it consistent. And you're seeing now Leeds and Norwich are, what is it, six points clear of us.
Yeah,
they're kind of, they're tailing away because they are keeping it consistent. And especially the game against Leeds, in that first half, that's a game we could be winning 3-0 if we take our chances. I'm not saying Leeds didn't have their fair share of the pot, but the game was decided from a mistake and you can't be doing that. If you want to be top end of this table, you've got to be keeping consistent and your heads can never drop at any point of the season.
I mean, I think generally quite a good rule is that if you're on a bad run of form, if you play Reading, then you've got generally quite a good chance of picking that back up again. But if I remember sort of correctly last season, was it quite similar? I mean, you started quite well, I think, in the top two, top three for a while.
Yeah.
And sort of to start to drop off again, sort of a similar sort of time, lingering around the playoffs much of the season before finishing 10th.
it's the exactly same part of the season. Yeah. Luckily, nothing's actually happened. I mean, last season, at the end of November, we obviously lost Paul Cooks to injury, who at this time last season, he was the Ollie Norwood of the team. He was driving us forward, and he looked, from my personal opinion, he was the best midfielder in the league last season for the first 3 months.
Yeah.
And Paul Cooks is obviously back now, and we're an entirely different team. He can't really buy a game due to how good new signing Ollie Norwood's been. But it definitely makes you wonder, as it's coming round at that same time of the season. Obviously, this time we haven't lost any key players. It solely just seems to be coming on. Heads seem to be dropping. Mm. People aren't playing as well as what they did at the start of the season. But then we are getting, like, Connor Washington the past couple games. He's been brought into the side. Leon Clark's been brought back in. And they're both performing, and they both look like they're gonna hit a run of form and going to be scoring some goals. But you've still, those like your Billy Sharp, he's still got to start performing again. And
yeah,
being on 10 league goals coming from, I think it's like 9 or 10 games, but and then hitting only goals in 50% of the games.
How did that 10th place finish sort of last season set up the expectations coming into this campaign? Was it sort of the aim to make the playoffs?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, last season, it's our first season back in the Championship after 6 years.
Yeah.
And you'd think for any newly promoted team that a top half finish would be an amazing achievement. But from how well we played last season and how good we started the season off, I think 99% of Blades fans will agree with me that we all felt disappointed at the end of last season, because we did maintain, like, we was knocking around the playoffs come April time, and then it took like the last 5 games of the season, and I think the last 5 games of the season we lost 3, drew 1, and only got a 1 win, which was the last game of the season when we had nothing to play for. So for only being a newly promoted team, but it is all down to Chris Wilder. I mean, Blades fans and most Championship fans can't say enough good things about Chris Wilder, because obviously on paper, we say it every time I'm on a podcast or anything, our team, probably under 85% of other managers in the Championship, would be nowhere near where it is. You look at the likes of Leon Clark, David McGoldrick, the Championship footballers at times in the career, but never top-end Championship strikers, which Chris Wilder seems to have got out of them. Your likes of Paul Cooks, under 2 previous managers for us, Paul Cooks was horrendous footballer, and I'm sure when Wilder came in, he would have been on the list of one of the players that he needs to boot out of the club. But from the promotion season and last season, he turned Paul Cooks into a top-end Championship player, and he's done that with a lot of players, as you saw with David Brooks last year. He kind of just came out of nowhere. We've got 12 million quid for him, and he's just fit straight into the Premier League. And that's all down, I personally think, from Chris Wilder taking a punt on him from the academy and seeing, wow, this guy has got a bit of potential. And he just has that knack. His management of bringing in the youth, he'd much rather spend money on bringing in a endeavorous young English talent instead of some 30-year-old who has done it before but maybe just wants that last wage packet, instead of someone who wants to actually progress in their career.
I was going to move on to talk about Chris Wilder, actually, so you've moved on quite nicely. He was obviously appointed in May 2016, which makes him the 3rd longest-serving manager in the Championship. Interesting, actually, the 3 longest-serving managers all played for the clubs that they're currently managing in their respective careers. That's Lee Johnson at Bristol City, Neil Harris at Millwall, and obviously Wilder at Sheffield United. Do you think that connection that, you know, perhaps was already there helps him?
Yeah, it definitely helps out. I mean, as we all like, Chris Wilder loves the club to the end, and I think you see it with Neil Harris 100%. Not only do you want to do well at a club to progress in your career, but you want to do, because that's your club, and you can definitely see that with Chris. You can definitely see that with Chris Wilder, just in the aspect of, you can see it with Billy Sharp. I mean, Billy, he's played for half of Yorkshire, over 10 clubs or something daft, and he just he's never looked that same player. He's scored goals wherever he's gone, don't get me wrong, but...
He was at Reading very briefly, I think, for about six months or so.
Yeah, exactly. You can, like you'll say, he probably scored a few goals for your Reading, but he definitely, as soon as he puts that Blades shirt on, is an entirely different different player. And I don't think, to an extent with Wilder, I do think Wilder is a fantastic coach, and you saw it at Oxford. You saw it now at Northampton. He's brought in a style of play which no other manager has, and even Bielsa said that he admires Wilder for taking risk and implementing an attacking style, which not many other coaches are doing. It's like, I can't think of another English coach off the top of my head that plays as explosive and as attacking as what Wilder does. And to our detriment, that sometimes weakens us, because for the majority of matches, we're playing one defender. Our furthest forwards are our centre backs at times. It's a bit crazy how we're playing. But it's fantastic to watch. And that's one thing that Wilder does bring with us. You never go to Bramall Lane and feel disappointed, because you know you're going to watch some good stuff, and you know it's not going to be a Tony Pulis team who is just going to be grinding out a 1-0 win. When Sheffield United win, we win convincingly and we play some good stuff.
I think many Reading fans sort of yearn for that feeling. So we haven't had that in a number of years. I mean, even under Jaap Stam, you know, you brought a distinct style of play. We still didn't really blow teams away. But looking ahead to this weekend's game, and have you seen much of Reading season so far? Do you think they'll provide much of a challenge to yourselves on the weekend?
It's all the bottom half of the table teams are all having a bit of a strange season. I mean, it just seems like Reading can't really get together that distinct midfield three. I mean, you've gone through how many midfields, like Kelly, Bakuna, yeah. Swift. You know, you've got, is that Young, is he called?
He's
coming through, it seems. And like, especially with us, what we do so well is keeping to that set 11 players.
Yeah.
West Brom do it. Leeds did it before injury struck. And I don't think Reading have that. I mean, you've got like four strikers, like your McNulte, Baldock, Bedvardsen, who all really could be starting. But you kind of need to find that consistency. I don't know where Reading's the threat's going to come from. I mean, if anything from a game last season, it's the pace on the counter attack, which your likes of Barrow, Miete, Yaedom at the back. If you can get those players playing against us and defend well, you'll score goals against us. Every team, it seems, we score a lot of goals, but it's like I said, to our detriment, we're so attacking. We're easily broken on counter attacking.
Yeah.
But if I was to name one person I'm particularly scared of, it probably is Mark McNulty. I was an advocate for him at Sheffield United. I absolutely loved him. I adored him. I thought he was the next Billy Sharp. Worked his socks off for us. I don't know how he's getting on. I know he scored. Was it his first league goal?
His first goal for the club at the weekend, yeah.
Yeah. And you probably see that with how he plays. Like, he might not be the most productive striker. You're not going to be getting your maybe 15 to 20 league goals, but he'll always work his socks off.
Yeah.
And he does have a knack for a goal. He has that presence in the box, and he is a finisher. And especially coming back, his first game against Sheffield United since he left us, and it was Chris Wilder who sold him to Coventry. He's definitely got something to prove. And just as a whole, I have a strange thing about former players coming back. They always seem to haunt us.
Yeah.
And with him hitting his first league goal, maybe he can build on that and maybe score against us, his former club, and that'll surely assert his name into Reading's first team.
Well, he missed a penalty against Leeds sort of the week before last. And obviously
I did see that actually.
And then got his first goal at the weekend. Paul Clement keeping faith with him. So I think with John Donny Bodvarsson out injured, Sam Baldock potentially out injured as well, we might see Mark McNulty at the weekend. As for yourselves then, who should Reading fans look out for at the weekend? Who might be the key player? I mean, you mentioned Ollie Norwood there, who I know sort of divided opinion whilst he was at Reading.
Yeah, Norwood is is your man. John Fleck also, I think with Reading being in quite a midfield battle on who is your strongest midfield, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, and whatever Paul Clement decides to play on the day, that's how we win games. Our midfield is so strong, and with Fleck and Norwood knowing each other's game back to back, you've got the typical deep line playmaker with your typical box to box. It's worked perfectly all season, and that is where our games are won. If we can control that midfield, we're going to be having a lot of the ball, and it might take us 8 to 5 minutes to get it into the back of net eventually, because it just seems every game we love to have 25 chances and miss 24. But you definitely need to be worrying about that midfield. But
yeah.
Forward, I think Connor Washington, I think this will be a game where he needs to step up. Coming up against a bottom half table team, I think Wilder will make changes. I don't think it's likely that Sharp and McGoldrick will start. I think you've got an experience back too if O'Shea and Liam Moore do start, and I think they might be able to handle Billy Sharp a lot better than they'll be able to handle like a big, big, strong, fast presence like Connor Washington, which he has brought the past two games, and he's obviously still looking for his first league goal, and if he can get that at the weekend, maybe that'll push on his Sheffield United career.
Finally then, Louis, how do you see the game panning out at the weekend? Can I get a score prediction for the game?
I'm quite optimistic. I think on paper, we should be going in and winning the game convincingly. It's not really the Sheffield United way. We love to make things hard for ourselves. But I think it'll be a high-scoring game if you can hit us on the counter. I'll go 3-2 Sheffield United.
I think you probably will beat us. I'm going to go for a 2-1 away win. I think from your end, is there sort of a feeling that you do need to get this run of wins together over the Christmas period to sort of avoid what happened last season?
Yeah, definitely. Especially coming off that hard period, and now our next run of 6 games is relatively easy compared. We have West Brom and Derby. Derby, both of those home games. But then apart from that, I think we have you, Millwall, Bolton and Blackburn maybe. So it's compared to the previous 5 games, it's definitely a lot more winnable games, and we need to be picking up like 15 points from like the next 6-7 if we still want to be challenging for that top 6 and even that automatic top 2.
My thanks then to you, Louis, for joining me on The View from the Town, and all the best at the weekend and for the rest of the season.
Oh, cheers, buddy.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@ The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/ The Tarlhurst End.